reading to you from the 8th chapter of Romans and the 31st verse. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Mull. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. One year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Oh, I'm kind of excited. We're going to hold a service out at the end of the month out at one of the large churches here in our city, a quartet, my wife and I, and I'm looking forward to that. They want us to hold a service just like we hold in prison. Well, we hold churches, we hold service in church a lot different. We are in prison a lot different than we do in church. Hey, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax? Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 10th chapter of the book of Gospel of John. And let's begin reading with the 7th verse. Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures." You know, there's many wonderful names for our Savior. The Good Shepherd, the Resurrected, the True Vine, the Light of the World, and Alpha and Omega. Jesus taught great spiritual truths simply, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world." How clearly he explained the deep things of God in verse 7. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Oh, listen, a very simple salvation message to sinners. Oh, I tell you, friends, many, many years ago when I was a little boy, my mom used to read the Bible, one of the big old family Bibles, to me and my sister. And there was many large pictures in that great old Bible. And one of them was with Jesus holding a little lamb. Oh, I used to want to, I'd look at that by the hour. Well, you see, we raised a lot of sheep. And you know, there's nothing any sweeter, there's nothing more tender than a little lamb. You ought to watch them play with one another. Well, Jesus said, "Christ, I am the door. A door of exiting and entering." Listen, friends, Christ is a door to forgiveness. Listen, I never in my life even dreamed when I was an alcoholic that God could love a wretched sinner like me. I just could not believe it. And even when that dear pastor sat there in his living room at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm crying like a baby, and he's telling me, "God loves you, Cecil." I said, "There's no way God could love people like me." That's a miracle of the new birth, the grace of God, as if we've never sinned. Those who trust him exit condemnation. No more condemnation than those that are in Christ Jesus. In John 3:17, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him." Now, those who trust him enter justification. And we read in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, friends, just as you never sinned in your life. That's what justification is. It's hard for me to understand. The only way you can really understand it is to realize when you invite Christ into your heart, he washes your sins in the blood and throws them into a sea of forgetfulness, never, never, never to be brought up against you again, just as if you've never sinned. And Christ is a door to life. And we read in Ephesians 2:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Listen, those who trust Christ exit spiritual death. You will never die. You say, well, yeah, you do. You die. Well, you shut your eye. If you're born again, you just shut your eyes and wake up in heaven. Oh, my dear friends, don't you realize if you're not saved tonight, do you realize what a gamble you're taking with life? My stars in the morning, to drive on our freeway here in Colorado is a dangerous situation. The other day, a police officer who was in civilian clothes was sitting at an intersection in his car, and a guy come by and killed him, shot him, killed him dead. Now, you think that guy thought 3 minutes before then he was going to be out in heaven? And you know what? He was a born-again believer, so he will be in heaven. Oh, my. Those who trust him enter into a new life, and we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. What does that mean, Cecil? Well, it means you used to love to booze and you used to love to do terrible things. When Jesus comes in and takes out that heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh, you no longer hate Jesus. You hate the booze, but you love Jesus. I can't explain. Here I am. And I'm so sorry to admit this, but I was drunk out of my mind when I left my wife at 2 o'clock in the morning. At 6:30, I came home, or 7, whatever it was, cold sober, saved, and changed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. I know that's true. I knew the morning I had invited Christ into my heart that he delivered me from alcohol. I've never had a desire, never desired to go back to drinking again, and I couldn't live without it. Christ is the door to heaven. Those who trust him exit the road of hell. Listen to what it says in John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Whew. Listen, friends, God is a loving God. He sure is. But don't bring the wrath of God upon you. Because you see, a lot of people honestly believe when they die, they're going to go to a little special place for them, and then they can be prayed out of this purgatory. That is not true. There is no purgatory in the first place. In the second place, the Bible said it's appointed man wants to die in the judgment thereafter. Once your soul leaves your body, you've already prepared for heaven or hell. And if you haven't trusted Jesus, you sure are going to hell. Those who trust him enter into eternal life. Oh, listen, let me ask you, do you have eternal life tonight? Oh, friends, listen to what it says in John 3:37. All that the Father give me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will in no wise cast out. Did you know a lot of people say, well, you know, I've got so many terrible sins that I'm sure God cannot forgive them. Oh, yes, he can. If you repent, truly are godly sorrowful for your sins, and you ask him to forgive you, he will. And you say, well, then what? Well, the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, this is written that you may know that you pass in death and life. He gives you the blessed assurance that you have been born again and that you are on the road to heaven. You may know. Now, how you get around that? You may know. Now, verse 8, it says, all who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Christ is the only door. There's no other door in the world of forgiveness. There's no other door to a new life. There's no other door to heaven. And listen, friends, there's no other door to eternal life. Many try to find other doors, but there is none. You know what they try? They'll try religious doors, baptism, communion, church membership, on and on and on. Now, there's absolutely, you should belong to a New Testament church after you're saved, and you should follow the Lord in New Testament baptism, not to be saved, but because you have been saved. It is an act of obedience. Well, there's financial doors, giving to church or charities, doors of personal merit, good works, honesty, etc., etc. Cultic doors, false Christ, all of these things fail, but Christ alone is the only door. There's no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. Well, Christ is the door of all who believe. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. If any man enter in. And beloved, listen to me. Oh, listen to me. This invitation is open to everybody. The short, the tall, the skinny, the fat, the black, the white, the brown, the yellow, the poor, the rich. Everybody can. That's whosoever. Listen to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have eternal everlasting life. This door opens for all who wish to enter. Now, friends, I want to make it crystal clear. God does not force anybody into salvation. No, he does not. He does not force anyone. You say, well, you mean to tell me I can live my life the way I want to? Sure can. You sure can. But at the end of life's journey, what are you going to do? You know, you can have a lot of fun, do this and that, but what happens when you have to face him? I've had people, atheists, tell me, I don't believe there's a God. I said, I'll tell you one thing, buddy. You can believe me. Your knee someday will bend, and you will confess that Jesus is the Christ, but it'll be too late. You'll have to do it on this side of eternity. You know, the Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you see, every blessed one of us who's been born of the Spirit, born of the flesh, has to be born of the Spirit. Can't get into heaven without it. Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he opens it all to every race. Those who enter the door find salvation. He said they shall be saved. No doubt about it. Those who enter this door are in the sheepfold. Those who enter the door are satisfied and find pasture. They say, I don't know, I've never been there, but they say in Jerusalem years ago, back in Jesus' day, these shepherds would have all these big herds of sheep, and they'd all congregate together and make kind of a big corral, and be four or five different shepherds and four or five different sheep. And you know what would happen? The shepherd would go out and he'd call the sheep, and his sheep, only his sheep, would follow him because they knew his voice. See, we know the voice of Christ. We'll follow Jesus. And oh, but listen, friends, the wonderful thing that I love about Jesus is that, lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. You remember when Jesus went out on the island of Gadara and he saved this demoniac and cast the demons in the pigs and they went in the water and drowned. Jesus and the disciples were going down the path to get on the ship to get to leave. And Jesus looked, and look who was behind following him, the demoniac that he'd saved and delivered. Jesus said, where do you think you're going? Oh, he said, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. I want to go with you. Jesus said, listen, the best thing you can do for me right now is to go back to your home, your friends, and your family, and tell them what I did for you. Friends, that's what I've been trying to do for 51 years, telling my friends and my loved ones, my shipmates, my classmates, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I've failed miserably. I thought, why in the world don't I reach more people? The other day, my wife and I went in to get our ears tested. We both have to have hearing aids. Well, I'm 81. She's almost 78 or something like that. And, I didn't want a hearing aid. I sure didn't. But while I was there, I thought, well, why waste time? And so I started sharing with this doctor about Jesus. He got so excited, he even got tears in his eyes, and I went down, my wife went down to the van and got Against All Hope. And then I got three books I want to give him. This man is going to find Jesus, I'm sure of that. Whenever we have a spare time, we should talk to people about Jesus, and you should take the time. You don't know how many hurting people, especially in restaurants. These waitresses are working about $3 an hour, and tips, that's all they get. And so they have a poor-paying job. If you tell them about Jesus, right now I'm having a friend of mine make a gospel track, and the name that he was delivered from alcohol. And when I leave, I put a tip in there, and they can open that thing, and they can find out how they can find Jesus. There's so many ways we can witness for Christ. Well, you know, he is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our friend, and he wants to take you to heaven today. See, reject all falsely labored doors. Oh, listen, there's so many false prophets in the world, especially on TV, and a lot of them on radio. Oh, this prosperity religion is of the devil. God never intended for that to be, but they're making money by the millions. They sure are. And then they say, oh, we got some children over in Africa we want to help. Now, some of them are real. Sure they are. And they do help people. And what you need to do, and I've always said this, and I've said it millions of times on my radio broadcast, I've told people, don't you ever send any money to this broadcast until first you've got on your knees and you've asked the Lord if that's what he wants. He wants you to send money to Billy Graham or other things. I don't want you to be disobedient, but every Christian should be a tither. Every Christian should be open-hearted and give. There's no place in this work for tight people. Now, you can't read this Bible without finding that God was a giving God and that Christians are to. Look what they did for Paul. Paul traveled. He didn't have no money. Of course, once in a while, when he ran out of money, he'd sit down. He'd make a tent. He'd sell it, and then he'd go on and preach some more. That's what I did all my Christian life. I've had to work. I shouldn't say that. When I was a director of three missions, I had a salary. That's the only time I didn't have to work. But all the rest of the times I've had to work, preach, go hold revivals, go roof all day, go back at night and preach. Does that mean I'm something special? No, dear friends, it doesn't. It means that I really fell in love with Jesus the morning he saved me and changed my life, gave me back my family. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, friends, to know Jesus is the biggest thrill of your lifetime. See, I want you to come to Christ just as you are. There's a song we sing, just as I am, without one plea. He doesn't want you to. A lot of people think they got to gussy up and start changing their lives. Let the Lord change your life. What did I say? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things pass away. Behold, all things become as new. Listen, friends. Christ is standing at the door of your heart right now if you don't know Jesus, and he's softly knocking. And then say, child, listen. Cecil can't preach very good, but he did tell the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh the Father except by me. A lot of people think they can circumvent Jesus and go to heaven. You can't. You've got to come through Jesus, because Jesus was the one that paid the penalty for our sins. He was sinless, yet he took upon himself your sins and mine, and then gave up his life. Those Jews didn't take his life. He gave his life as a ransom for you and for me. Now, right now, he's standing at the door of your heart, and he's saying, child, listen, you need to do this before it's too late. Tomorrow you may not be here. Tomorrow you may be out in eternity, and then it's too late. Friends, I know. I was there. I know what it is to be lost. Oh, how I know what it is to be lost. I know how lonely. I know how no peace. But the minute I said yes to Jesus, he put a peace in my heart that's been there ever since, 51 years. Anyway, if you'd like to trust the Lord tonight and you've never trusted him, here's a prayer that you can pray. But please don't pray this, dear friends, unless you really are sorry for your sins and want to know Jesus. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm opening my heart right now and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8535. And I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. But, oh, beloved, I do care where you spend eternity. If you feel I can help you spiritually and you need some help, call me tonight, because I am concerned. 303-471-8534.
The blood that Jesus
friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, friends, I do hope that something was said that would encourage you. Please continue to pray for my wife and I and my evangelistic team and my quartet as we go into prisons, that God will bless us and give us precious souls for hire. Friends, you know, not everybody's called to do prison work. I know that. Well, we are. So you pray for us, and you pray for our health, and pray that we'll be a blessing wherever we go. So until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.